Welcome, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and our paradigm shifter today is, well, actually almost plural. It's our wonderful friend, Angele Rose O'Grady, who channels, I think you call it channeling source, God's source energy, and has a book called A Time of Change, which you and I know is really a big deal these days. So let's welcome to the show Angele Rose O'Grady, author of Time of Change.
Thank you, Veronica. Nice to be with you today. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's just wonderful to talk to you. And do you call yourself a channel, or do you just have a, do you have another name?
No, not really. I open the Akashic Records, and when people bring questions to the records of a spiritual nature, it is source that comes through. But I'm perfectly conscious, and really it's kind of a telepathic conversation mixed with, you know, things being impressed upon me physically.
Oh,
so I
wonderful.
Have the full range of senses, actually. But, you know, I suppose in one way you could say that I'm a channeling source, but not in the normal way people might think.
Okay, well, that's fine with us because the information is precious. I'm really excited about it. How long have you been doing this kind of work?
Well, I've been on a spiritual path since I was 19, but I...
And what, you're only 21 now, aren't you?
I'm only 21, for just a few years.
Yeah.
I've been reading the records for about 15 to 20.
Oh, great.
And before that, I was a tarot teacher and was a healer. I did a lot of healing work on people, psychic surgery mostly for 10 years. And taught a lot of classes. You know, anything people wanted to know that I could teach them that would help their lights go off was what I did. So, between 19 and in my 30s, I'd say, was mostly study.
Yeah.
And my own self-processing, you know.
Exploration as well, huh?
Yeah, exploration into rebirthing and lots of healing modalities and things like that. So
good for you.
It's just been an involvement up the, you know, as you go.
So I would like you to explain to people, this is Akashic Records is a term that's sort of tossed around, but very rarely does somebody actually say, what is that? What does that mean?
Yeah, well, the Akashic Records, to me, is the recording of creation. You know, if you look up the word Akasha, it's a Sanskrit word that means ether or sky, and many people interpret it as a plane in spirit where where your soul records are kept, like your own personal library of your many lifetimes through creation. But I find that the records are actually located everywhere, and it is really a way to access the universal memory of creation. So some people perceive it as a library, and certainly in the beginning, I would travel to a library and pull out my own book, a vast, vast, vast library. So it can appear like that to people. It doesn't appear like that to me anymore, but certainly that's a valid experience.
Well, so would you say that it's a way for us to contact all the information of our entire journey?
Absolutely.
Like its goal or just its happenstances?
Well, your past life history is in there. Your life on other planets is in there. You know, a easy way to explain it is when people have a near-death experience and they say they see their whole life flash in front of them. That would be an example of their records suddenly unwinding. Okay, so, but it's just that the records would hold not only this life, but all your lifetimes. And also the history of events in the universe and civilizations and, you know, cosmic information as well. It's not just personal humans.
Well, that brings us to the perfect subject for today in 2012, A Time for Change. So you've got, this is a question and answer book, but oh my goodness, it takes you through pretty much everything. So what's going on? Well, I know it's not everything. It's just a little of every aspect that you can imagine. So what's going on the planet? What is 2012 really the time of the shift? And what's happening for the Earth and for all of us?
Yeah, that's a great question.
It's pretty broad, isn't it?
It is, and actually we're having a group this Thursday where we're going to ask some more current questions, because in terms of what's happening to the planet, in terms of Earth changes, let's just say, I haven't asked it in probably 6 months or a year. Mm-hmm. So it would need to be updated, and that's the plan Thursday. But, you know, really what's happening is we've been in a process for a number of years. It's not that this is suddenly starting, this year. So it is an influx of light that is actually coming from the center of the cosmos. Sources told us that it has sent it itself, okay? And it's not just Earth. It's affecting all planets and lots of things in the solar system, in the cosmos. But what we're really being given is an influx of higher frequency light codes that are coming through the sun and down, you know, filtering down to us for the purpose of allowing us to, you know, move to a higher level of, you know, I'll call it evolution just to make the language simple. But it's coming to wake us up or activate more of our DNA and cellular memory so we can function as more enlightened and awake beings.
Well, you know, I was just wondering, when you link the Mayan calendar talk to that, how would you link it? Would you say it was like these downloads that are expressed in what the Mayans perceived?
Yes, I do. I mean, I think when the Mayans speak of the end of time, as we know it, or the end of their calendar, the end of a cycle, they were very aware of, different cycles of time. But, you know, when I look at time changing, to me that means if you become, you know, lighter in frequency, then our hold with time or our relationship with time starts to change. Mm-hmm. So I think they knew that. I think they watched the stars and they watched the constellations. And
they probably didn't watch
Zodiac
TV,
real well.
Did they?
Yeah, I think they knew the Zodiac real well and, okay, and our journey through it, mm-hmm, actually. I think that they recorded that.
So are you experiencing, like a lot of us are experiencing, high frequency changes, and time doesn't have its normal measure at all, and that's a part of it, eh?
That's a big part of it, and the fact that, you know, manifesting is occurring quite rapidly now. And that's a good thing and a bad thing, depending on where you are in your consciousness.
If you're really grumpy, watch out, right? Or vengeful.
Yeah, I think it really is stirring the pot, you know, in terms of all of us individually, in terms of clearing, you know, past lifetime. This is the time, you know, where all your lifetimes come to fore and all your old karmic imprints are there to be forgiven.
Well, it's interesting because in the book you talk, or source talks with you or through you, about we needed to get in touch with the clearing, and I want to get back to that, but the crystalline aspects of our nature. Can you talk about that?
Yes, it made a point to talk about our organic structure, and it used the word organic deliberately, mm-hmm, and it was implying that we have a crystalline network inside of our body that is an entire communication system where we could communicate with all life everywhere if we would develop it or focus on it. And basically with this shift, what's happening is those crystals within us are actually being allowed to change and turn into different formations, which would be higher communication, higher intuition, excuse me,
are they,
you know,
like
activating even the physical body? You know, this isn't just about what happens in your consciousness. This is a biological change for all species on the planet as well. And that does have to do with the network that everybody's made of internally. So it's huge.
Is the biological change being spun or amped up or created by these downloads?
Yes, it does look like the cellular structure and the crystal structure, crystal network inside the body that's inside each cell is going to be spinning faster and changing. So,
and that's having a huge impact on our brain, isn't it, in our brain capacity?
our brain capacity, our
heart.
You know, like I said, people just seem to know things now. They seem to be more, well, some people are actually having visionary experiences. And, you know, I one girl wrote me just recently, said she suddenly is aware of other level beings. So that can happen as well in the whole process.
And what do you think about... this is a huge subject, isn't it? Let me go back to the crystalline part. When we're talking about, because my mind wants to hold all of that, you know, that you speak of getting familiar with or being able to not wield it, but use the crystalline, the evolutionary crystalline aspects of our nature for healing and for communication and for what?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because the reason for this is because we're in an interrelationship with everything,
right?
With everybody and everything. So obviously, the quality of ourselves affects everything, affects the field, affects your neighbor next door. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when you become aware of your own internal network, its capacity to heal, because Source has talked to us about an area. I don't know if you read this part yet in the book, but there's an area right at the base of the sternum.
No, I didn't read that section.
Okay, that Source actually says is almost like stardust inside of us.
Ah, and just below the sternum? Right below the
sternum? At the base of the sternum.
Okay.
Almost like, you know, under your breast before your ribs
mm-hmm.
begin, you know, that little spot right in the center where the breastbone ends,
mm-hmm.
okay? That if you were to... You know, let's say you wanted to heal something in yourself or for someone else. If you were to focus your attention there and make that intention, then you would cause huge shifts. But that is an area that gets activated when you want to heal.
Hmm.
And we tried it in the class. When we got that message that evening, we all stopped and we all focused and we all tried it. And the experiences people had were just amazing.
Wow.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah, so it's built into us.
Hmm.
It's actually biologically built into us, and I think we put too much attention outside.
We sure do. So let's talk about the influences upon us, because what I'm reading in this is that with developing our crystalline nature, we can overcome the influences that might come from, like, a lot of technology, GMOs, toxicity, and so on. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, there's a lot of levels to that, which is why I'm hesitating.
I don't mind. You can,
Okay, well, certainly getting in touch with your own crystal network or focusing your attention internally, even once a day, you know, if you got up in the morning and you put your attention there, or before you went to bed, you put your attention there, you do a little bit of a scan of yourself and ask your own crystal network just to adjust your biology and bring in colors that it needs or, you know, clear off anything you might have picked up during the day. And certainly you can even invite more of your God presence into your body, which I think is a huge thing. But, you know, the most important message about that, Veronica, is we don't take the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't take the time to focus within ourselves. So technology is an interesting thing because a lot of the frequencies from technology are very low and they do affect the immune system and they do gradually weaken us. So it's not telling people not to use technology, but one of the simple things Source suggested if we were using computers was to visualize orange light all around the computer and around ourselves. And I'm not really clear why exactly, but I do know when I used to do a lot of psychic surgery, that was the color that would come in when I had to remake flesh somewhere.
Hmm.
So it seems to have a particular frequency. And it did encourage, Source also encouraged us, lots of vitamin C, a lot more vitamin C, a lot of water. Those are just a few simple suggestions.
But they're basically, it sounds like anyway, that it's basically to offset the influences that are external, is that right?
Yeah, well,
it
basically strengthens the immune system. And so this is the thing with the book, with Source speaking to us on a variety of levels. And it does that on purpose so so that people can apply a solution at whatever level they're ready. So, yes, the main thing physically on 3D is to keep your immune system strong. And because these pulses are around, they're actively, there's a whole lot more of them now than there ever used to be, especially in terms of, you know, some negative agenda pulsing as well that's increased in our world. So lots of things like that. Yeah.
And what source is saying is that we aren't victims, right?
It's definitely saying we're not victims, but we have to take on that consciousness and start working with our own divinity, really. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you do perceive yourself as a victim.
Mm-hmm. I love working with my divinity. It makes me feel really excited.
Yes, and that's such a good point that you just made, because even if you sit down for 5 minutes a day and say, I'm inviting more of my God presence, you know, into my body to run my life today, you know, just even doing that mm-hmm. once a day, or getting up when the sun's rising and looking at the sun will shift your whole day. It's just a very centering exercise to do, and
doesn't take that long in this very fast-moving time.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take very long. And it's regenerative as well. You know, the light codes coming off the sun are healing if you know how to use them properly.
So how do we use them? It's just having that kind of, well, I'll let you talk here.
Yeah, well, you know, if you were to get up and look at the sun and only for 30 seconds or so, you invite that sun as a representative of your God life force just to come in and run your day. And really, that's all you have to do. You're really surrendering a part of you that thinks and tries to figure things out, and you're just allowing, a higher God presence that is yours to come into your body and run your life. And just even doing that, it's very grounding. It's very centering. You'll have clarity through the day. You'll physically feel better, and your desire for foods, certain foods, will dissipate. So it's got enormous impact. I mean, you could do the sunset if you can't get up in the morning.
Wow, wonderful. So I get over my peanut butter addiction?
Well, I don't know that it's a bad thing.
So let's talk about that. I love that, actually. So that takes me over to the negative agendas, how you refer to it. And
yeah.
Let's talk about the shift and how the impact on what religious systems, financial systems. Can you talk a little bit about what's going on there? Is it all going to collapse? Or
well,
is it going to win?
We hope so. I mean,
but it's up to us, you're saying, right?
Well, no, there's certain things that need to collapse.
Okay. Right?
Source was clear that really we're speaking about paradigms that have enslaved us and have been in place for much too long. So, you know, on the one hand, you see, this is, again, the levels. Source would say that if we were all flowing along with the need for change cooperatively without any sort of issue about our belief systems, there would be no need for any sort of upheaval. We would just be, you know, peacefully moving into a higher level of awareness and a higher way to live. But because people have their identities really connected with their religious beliefs, or even their finances for that matter, you know,
that certainly is a big identity decider, isn't it?
It is, mm-hmm. Yes. And that's really the problem, you see, when it comes to letting go of beliefs or allowing a change to happen that goes into a more cooperative, a more sharing idea. The fact that people have their own personal value connected with their money or connected with their religion.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody comes along and says, hey, you know what, it's really a way that is really holding a lot of us in bondage, you know, somebody would say, well, I don't want to change that. It's too fearful for me to change, or I don't want to share my money. So it's really the identity crisis.
And people will fight to the death for position, right?
They will. They will. And that's what all has to change, though. You see, and the thing is, it really is about becoming harmless as a person.
Mm.
And that has to do with not having your identity connected to external things. So Source would say we do need this upheaval, we do need this collapse, because we need to create a new system of cooperation
Actually, there's a little flotsam and jetsam as it collapses, though, isn't there? People
well,
are
reeling.
Well, there
is. The source didn't promise that it would be fun for everybody, and it didn't even promise that we'd all live through it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's, you know, something that has to be looked at squarely in the way we interpret what's going on. Because on the one level, you know, source reminds us all that we're all completely safe in source. It's aware of every one of us as a spirit, that we can never die as a spirit. And that doesn't necessarily comfort somebody who's attached to their physical life. Mm-hmm. But it's still true. It's still true. And at least it's a different perspective, mm-hmm. you know, on the bigger picture when you take a look at things. But, you
know, it's hard to even imagine losing. If we're working on clearing and attitudes and all these things, and some of your family members aren't, and I want to ask you about this as well, but there's this separation we keep seeing amongst people.
Yes, that's true.
Coming up according to the frequencies that you're running on, would you say?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and people will feel that. You know, you'll get reports of people who are feeling depressed and not sure why they feel depressed, and yet what is really happening is they're probably grieving about this separation that's occurring, because it's getting bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And inevitably, it can just be collective grief. You know, we could all be tuning into whenever something dies, even if it dies for a good reason, and the death is allowing for a new change, it'll still register within us as a loss.
That's really interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, so I think if I could just interject this for anybody who could be feeling strange depression or strange anxiety, not to always think that there's something wrong with them. That they could just be tuning into a wave that's going through the planet. And, you know, and we do know people are killing themselves over these feelings. Mm-hmm. So it would be... it would be good if they could just step back for a minute and say, maybe it isn't me.
Do you have any techniques for people to get rid of those, taking on, empathizing with the collective feeling?
Yes, and this is a bit of a discipline, because Source does talk to us about the fact that we have to consciously choose a paradise in those moments. You know, when you're feeling that, you have to stop yourself and say, all right, but God's will is happiness, and I'm choosing only paradise. And it may sound simple, but the more you do that, the more you really do shift the whole quantum field inside yourself and realign yourself with a different timeline where that's not happening. But you got to catch yourself, and you can't just stop with the emotion. You have to take it one step further.
Mm-hmm. So when you're in the process of clearing, though, if you're clearing your, say, Akashic record, is that how you'd say it? If you're clearing
well,
past
you're clearing,
reactions.
Well, it depends if it has to do with you personally or not.
Okay.
You know, when you make that different choice, in a way, it doesn't matter, I suppose, if you're clearing yourself or you're putting a new potential timeline in the collective. It doesn't really matter. It's the fact that you're choosing to switch gears, almost like a train when it has to switch a track. Mm. You know, we're choosing a paradise instead of a calamity, or instead of going through suffering, we're choosing happiness. And that really does, if we could all be doing that, and certainly more people are doing that in terms of their intention, you know, they're less willing to fight and they're less willing to have conflict, which is all fantastic. Okay.
Really, yes, it is.
Yeah, so that's the good part that's going on, and the more these light codes come in and people have an expanded vision or even a memory of themselves as something bigger than this little person that's in effect of everything outside, you know, the more that they tune into that and they tap into that, then they'll start re-choosing what we were originally.
So does that unhook us from the whole Akashic record thing? I mean, has that changed the reality of what that's been?
Well, what sources said to me is that you can't ever take anything out of creation once it's been put in.
Okay.
In other words, I know that there are belief systems that say you can go back and, you know, reinvent the past. Source would say you can't really do that, but what you do is you can create new timelines for the same time period. So a little example of, we'll just use it, if you had, let's say you didn't have a great childhood. Mm-hmm. You could go back and recreate your childhood with your imagination the way you would have liked it. So what happens is that you don't take out the childhood that you had out of the records, but you do create a whole new timeline for the same year, the same time frame. And that's just as valid, because that's entered into creation too. Once you've imagined it, it's in creation.
So that is like shifting what you're talking about, the train tracks. It's like shifting the tracks.
And absolutely.
That's emotional, though, isn't it? I mean, you can feel it emotionally, right?
You can, but, The Course in Miracles actually does talk about that a lot, in the sense of inviting people to choose peace in a situation where they're in conflict. You know, it'll say, you know, you could choose peace instead of this. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it, the very interesting thing about it, is when people are confronted with that, you'll find out really quickly if you want to choose peace or not. And a lot of us are so, hung up in our issues and being right, that when somebody says, you know, you could just choose peace instead of all this conflict, there's a part of us that goes, well, I don't know.
I remember some years ago, I was studying forgiveness. I went to big classes on it.
Yeah.
And I remember hitting the wall several times going, I don't want to forgive. I could surprise myself by saying, I really don't want to forgive her.
I know.
You look in the mirror and go, are you kidding me? You know.
Yeah, no, I know.
Sometimes it's very
hard. I've
been
like that too. I had an experience like that with my ex-husband when I got in an argument. And Source came to me real quick and says, you know, you're making this up. I'm like, what do you mean? No, he's this, he's that. Oh, you want him to be guilty.
Oh, that's funny, because we need to hear that so that we can get ourselves off that huge judgment and realize it's pretty normal to have those. We're defending something. We're defending our position. So let's go back to the shift and the systems falling apart. Tell me this, Angel. A lot of people will say, well, you know, we're living concurrent realities and these realities are existing side by side. Does your... in your work with Source, do you hear that we will have, some people will be living that life as if it never did come apart, and some will be living a life where it did come apart and we've created a different world?
Yes, I think a lot of possibilities are manifesting right now. And
like concurrent realities, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we can call them different timelines, and it just depends what track you're going down. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with, you know, your individual choices. But did that answer your question for you?
Yes, it did. I'm sitting here musing, because there's a very popular line these days going, it's not all about you, you know. And I'm listening to you going, it is. It's all about me, isn't it? For
well,
each one of us.
Let me interject this, too, because it might be interesting for people. People who follow the Mayan calendar and those teachings in the Hopi prophecies and things like that, they all say we're moving into either the fifth dimension or the fifth world. And yet sources told us that, you know, some people aren't going into those worlds. Some people are going into higher worlds, and some people are going into lower worlds. And that does have to do with each person's own soul journey and where they're headed. And I thought
that
was an interesting point to make.
It is a very powerful point.
Yeah.
Can we choose it? Are they selling tickets?
Well, I just think like attracts like, you know?
Yeah, that's right, isn't it? That's very good. Yeah, I appreciate
that.
You'll
draw to you where you are. That's really the truth. Yeah. But I thought it was a good point, because there's a lot going on here, and the thing is, it's not just a collective movement. It's an individual, personal soul journey for each one of us. And so that has to be recognized. And you know, you mentioned judgment earlier, and I think it's important to see why we actually can't judge another person, because we really don't know where they are in their soul evolution.
Mm-hmm. What they're working out.
Yes.
And what they came to finish.
Yeah. I mean, there are some people, you know, we can speak of religions too, but there's some people that's what they need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need that particular paradigm, and certainly true of my ex-husband.
Billy, yeah. Yeah, and that it really helps when you speak like that. It helps to develop a sense of compassion for people that you're completely nonplussed by, right?
Yes.
Or reactive to. Now, you know, I'm very interested that you have a section here on suicide and mental health.
Yes.
And then from there, I want to get into like ADD, ADHD, and those changes. But we spoke briefly about how our brains are changing, their capacities are changing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the biggest stressor, I guess, on our mental health these days? Is it the rapid speed? I mean, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I think it's a lot of things. I wish I could say there was just one. But mm-hmm. I do think it's the acceleration of light codes coming in, because it is like pouring clear water into a glass that's got all the sand on the bottom that's been settled for a while, and now all of a sudden it's being stirred up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people have to be able to adjust to the frequency changes and the accelerated rate that's happening. And that can get tough depending on what you haven't healed. And if you can't keep up with it, it does turn to illness, and it does turn to, you know, a breakdown in your mental health and emotional health, actually.
I did have a breakdown some years back,
mm-hmm.
and the reason I'm even talking about it right now is because everything in my life came apart, but also I had perched my identity on my life situation, on my marriage, on my mothering, and all that. But I hadn't done any of the clearing, and I'm also meant to be an intuitive, which means my nervous system was set for something else. But so when I read this section, I go, isn't it like that, that you can't necessarily adapt quickly enough to really rapid changes because you're being asked to, what, expand to a higher level?
Well, you're being asked to let go, really. I mean, if people could just surrender a bit to their higher nature, and, you know, when things aren't going right or things are falling apart, which is happening to, you know, lots of people,
mm-hmm.
you know, all sorts of breakdowns on all sorts of levels.
I think it's huge.
It represents the collective cracking of the egg is what I call it,
mm-hmm.
you know, where everything's got to be cracked open so that the old stuff can fall away and the new stuff can come in. And, you know, I think if people can take a look at how their identities are attached to either their careers or their, you know, their possessions or whatever, and just release on it a bit and allow for something new to flow, they could go through this a lot easier.
Isn't it funny that an old line has often been calling people a crackpot, and that's exactly what the deal is?
Well, also, I think, too, you know, you mentioned compassion earlier, and I think that's a huge part of this. You know, how each person responds to what's going on, you know, is how they respond, and, you know, they need some sort of compassion about that, and even just some kind words can do a whole lot to help somebody.
I think having compassion could soothe the trauma of people having to change over to so fast, you know?
Yes.
But right. Also, there's a lot of suicide these days. There's a ton of it, and kids, and oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
What does Source say about that? I know you've got some wonderful things about it
in the
book.
Yeah, and I had to be careful with that chapter, to be honest,
mm-hmm.
because Source doesn't judge anything.
I know.
And it doesn't judge this either. So that had to be said, but I wanted to be sure that it didn't come across as if Source was giving permission either, or we were giving permission, because it wasn't really about that. But, you know, because Source looks at it all, that everything is safe within it,
mm-hmm.
you know, if somebody checks themselves out, it'll embrace them with loving arms just like it would any spirit coming home. But what it's really about, the individual soul contract, is the level that we need to talk about this. And really, a person who takes themselves out is cutting their contract short. And they have the right to do it. The truth is, everyone's got free will. They have the right to do it. But they'll just have to master whatever they're going away from at some point in the revolution. So it's not really an escape. It might be an escape from troubles currently, but it'll come back around, and they will have to master it because that's what their soul is wanting to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sad that people are, a lot of it is they're buckling under the pressure of finances, which is really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is, you know, money is something, I mean, so many other things can come to you without money, that it's just sad that people collapse, you know, when their finances leave.
But back to what you were called, I think you called it kind of enslaved by some of the systems.
And this is the reason why our system has to collapse, really, because the way the whole thing is run is so corrupt, and it's so inhumane. You know, it's certainly not built on sharing and cooperation and the best for everybody.
Well, and somebody that I was interviewing, Dr. Asante, who wrote a book called The Final Frontier about death, she was saying it's interesting how when we're corralled, which you've kind of implicated here, that we're also cornered by the fear of death, which is pumped at us all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's like,
if you take down every fear, ultimately that's where you'll end up.
Really, yeah.
You know, it's all about the fear of actually this physical body dying or not surviving or starving. And I'm sure many of us have memories of going through those things in other lives, and we don't want to repeat it. So ultimately that is what it's about, is the fear of death. Yeah.
Well, let's jump over to another subject, which is rather heavy as well, which is called the negative agenda. What do you have to say about that, and HARP, and this corralling instinct that people have? They corral the money or the God or the whatever, you know.
Yeah, the negative agenda is really anybody, anything, any system that is what Source would say against the life principle. And the life principle is creativity and sharing and cooperation and unlimited expansion.
Mm-hmm.
So the negative agenda would be any force or group or people that are trying to suppress that in the individual humans and basically accumulate an excess for themselves. And don't really care who they kill or they enslave in the process.
Or if they dig holes in the earth that can't be repaired.
Yes, they do. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. When it really isn't about anything harmonious, it's not acknowledging the relationship with all life. So Source calls that, it won't ever use the word evil, but it's actually what it means.
But you call it N-A in your book, Negative Agenda.
I call
it
N-A. And, you know, the most Source would say is that, you know, evil is the word live backwards.
Yeah.
So there you have it, you know.
So do you think that, you implied, or Source implies, that the negative agenda, the beings who are running those things, it's all going to come apart for them? Or are they going to just suddenly wake up to the codes as well? And are they going to be free? Because in a way, they're enslaved also with their greed, for example.
Yes, they are. But I'm going to go a step further and say to you that I don't even know if many of them are human. I do have to say that.
Oh, my. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When Source says that the time of evil is over is really what it said. The feeling I got was that there had been a certain permission allowed for certain things to express themselves here for, you know, X amount of cycles, and that is done. And, you know, Source did explain that it would be a process of it leaving, but that its time is done.
Do you think it'll leave in a state of fit of pique, in anger?
No, I think some of them will drop to a lower place.
Mm-hmm.
Some will maybe wake up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of its hold, in terms of the systems that have been keeping the rest of us enslaved. And as you say, if you look out, look around right now, you can see that it still has no interest in giving up its agenda.
Right. It sure
doesn't. Okay, so, but I think it's going to try and try, and because of the light that's coming in here and will continue to come in here, at least I know I've seen it until 2017. It's peaking this year, but it'll still be present. That a lot of things are going to change, and we may go through, you know, scrapes in between the process, you know. So it doesn't look like it's all going to suddenly just turn all peaceful, but certainly that's the end result, which I thought was wonderful news, actually, even though the process might not be comfortable.
So let's talk about the Middle East in the middle of all that.
Yeah. Well, sources said that it's the egg cracking again, do you know?
Okay, yep.
Mm-hmm. That things have to crack and things have to come out, and you'll see that fracture going on in lots of places. And it just shows you the degree of heat that's been suppressed. And the truth is, too, as these codes come through the sun and they get more intense, those old issues, mm-hmm. you know, are getting heated up and stirred up all over again. But at least last time, anyway, they did a ceasefire fairly quickly.
Yes, they did. That was magical, wasn't it?
It was. And I just think this is the point, though. It's not that you'll never see anything flare up, but the way it's dealt with might change, you know?
So we could go through it more rapidly. Isn't it interesting that the Middle East is kind of the crucible of the beginning of all these world religions, too, eh?
It is. And, you know, the truth is there's just there's one source, and that source is loving, and, you know, that's the way it is.
But it's interesting that we kind of fight to the finish in a way. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah.
I know. And again, this is the problem with having identity connected, mm-hmm. you know, to your beliefs and what you think is right and what you think you deserve and who owns what and, you know.
Yeah. And who's
all of that
who's
stuff
important
has to go.
Because they own what? That's the really weird thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So I think that the food you suggest, or source suggests, that we grow our own food, and I really tried that over the last couple of years, and I'm going to starve if it's up to me, I'll tell you what. Because I'm busy, you know, like you, I'm doing a lot of these other things, and I don't really even know how to garden. But I'm a little horrified at the, a lot of people are, we're made sick by a lot of the distortions of our food supply and the water supply. Can you talk a bit about all that and how we can transcend it?
Yeah, well, the whole GMO food thing is really an abomination. I can't use any other word. It's an attempt to change our biology. You know, we spoke earlier about our organic structure.
Mm-hmm.
That
yes.
was given us by source.
The
but
crystalline.
These particular types of foods start to damage that whole organic structure in our stomachs and our livers. And it's really an attempt to lower the potential of the human being even further. I go so far as to say it's a way of artificializing something that was alive and organic, you know, mm-hmm. making it artificial. So the thing is I think my friend was just reading yesterday that over 70% of the foods are now GMO.
Wow.
Yes, and that's beets, and it's tomatoes, and it's potatoes, and it's all sorts. And this whole issue with U.S. not labeling food is just another corruption of the big corporations.
Yeah, we heard that the over in Europe, they will not eat American-raised beef. They won't touch it.
Well, that's great, and there are some countries in the EU that have banned GMO foods, thankfully. Some of them, okay?
Yeah.
And but
you why,
know,
why
was basically
don't we...
saying, yeah, in answer to your thought about growing your own food, it was suggesting that we get organic seeds, that we grow some of our food ourselves. But there's also, there are many, many more organic people cropping up. There's more superfoods that are being created in powder form that can sustain us. There's all sorts of things like that. But, you know, Source also did suggest that we start sun gazing because, you know, sun gazing does feed you. It's got all the colors of the spectrum in it. Mm-hmm. And you will find that your appetite will get less. Hmm. So in the one hand, Source is saying, you know, let's lessen our dependence on food in a way by starting to bring in more color and light into your body, because the truth is your body is made from color and sound. It's made from light and sound. Mm-hmm. So it's not telling you to stop eating, but it's saying you could start a process where you're less dependent on food. And I thought that was really great advice.
It is great advice. I don't think, I mean, I'm sitting here cogitating whether or not, well, anyway, I'll try it.
But also, yeah, try it.
Yeah. Have you tried it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
And yeah, I'm not in a place now where I can see the sunrise, but I was a few months ago. I were at my mom's. She lived on a lake, and the sun would come right through the front door every morning, which would wake us up. And we'd go out, and just that little bit, it's not even, you know, it's 30 seconds looking at that sun coming up. Just changed everything. Not only did I feel stronger in my core, but I was awake. I was centered. I desired less to eat. Hmm. So just a little bit of it, you'd be surprised.
Wow. Well, I'm going to try that. We live on the Pacific Northwest, so we don't always have the option of sun, you know?
Yes, I do, yeah.
So let's talk about...
I understand. It's like being in Ireland.
Yeah. Oh, you've been in Ireland. You're from Ireland?
My husband's Irish.
Oh.
Yeah. So we go every year.
You have a wonderful name, Ongale. I've never heard that before, and I wondered
if
it was Irish.
Yeah, that's Irish, too.
Yeah, great.
So he renamed me. My given name was Gail Ann, and when we met, he said, that's just not right.
Well, it's a wonderful choice. I love it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I love it, too. I resonate with it a lot more.
Yeah, I just really like it. Children. Let's talk about children, because in the food structure, the way the food's been destroyed, our children have... A lot of people I know are sticking to organic, but our children have a lot of allergies.
They do.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Can you give us what Source might say about that? Like, these children are also new children, right? The new kind.
They are, yes. Okay. Well, it's, you know, on the one hand, it's a good affirmation for us to see that the species is changing.
Yes.
That's just, I just need to interject that, because these kids with their gifts and abilities are proof that the human is becoming a more intelligent, a more creative species, which is wonderful. But because of that, they need organic food. They can't do processed things. They certainly shouldn't be given GMO foods. And they certainly shouldn't be drugged down either. So what I find interesting in terms of children coming in that are really demanding change, mm-hmm. everything from the way they're taught to what they eat to how we deal with them, they're trying to teach us to change paradigms. But
Is that the indigo, would you say?
It's the indigo crystals and the rainbow, and there's higher ones that'll be here within the next 10 years even.
Okay.
So, but yeah, they... Unfortunately, some of these kids are born to parents that are still asleep.
I know.
And they're more than happy, you know, especially if you have a child that's a bit hyperactive. You know, they're happy to put them on drugs just to calm them down. But really, I'd say what's needed more is maybe some color therapy, looking into herbs, you know, watching their diet, things like that. Mm-hmm. So there's a definite need that these kids need more. Natural, you know.
And they also need to be taught about energy and so on, I think, because they're natural.
They do. And a lot of them are natural healers, mm-hmm. besides. So.
And like you talked about sun gazing, I'm going, well, sometimes when they know how to handle energy, they get calmer because they're more stable inside because they're running what might have been running randomly through them. Eh?
That's true. And they're also very creative, so they need outlets. You know, and they're all different. Some need physical outlets. Some need to paint. You know, I see that just about all of these kids need to use their hands to create things, mm-hmm. or they need some sort of arts.
And so many of them are stuck on the computer games.
I know, I know. And that's the whole section in the book on technology, which Source really warned us against. You know, like I say, it's not saying don't use it, but in terms of balance, really, you know, these kids on computers all the time, it's hypnotic, just like the television.
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit.
TV's hypnotic, so I don't own a TV.
Oh, you don't? Good for you. Do you have grandchildren?
I have one grandchild who's six. Unfortunately, her parents, you know, are very, you know, the stuff's in the house, let's just say, the toys.
Yeah, okay. I have a grandchild, same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's also really interesting if we're in these states of understanding and we have these little children to deal with, it's kind of interesting to figure out how to get into their reality and their authenticity, isn't it?
Well, it is, and with my own granddaughter, you know, I just moved here. We just moved to San Diego. This is where my granddaughter is, and that was really the motivation. Mm-hmm. It was to be in her life, and she's to the point now where I can't reach her.
Uh-huh.
In terms of, you know, the way that I knew her even a year ago.
Isn't that interesting? So they get socialized, don't they?
And it makes me a bit sad. She's got her imagination, but it's also colored with, you know, seeing a lot of negative things, and, you know, it's sad.
That sounds exactly like what I'm dealing with, but sometimes, just like I listened to your Crystalline thing, that will help her, won't it, when you're working with sending messages that way?
Yes, and even their dog, I have to tell you, when I went over there, their dog just does not leave my side. And it just, you know, I put my hand on the dog and I said, okay, what's going on? And it said, it's just sad.
Aww.
And so I said, what do you need? And it said, I need to be reminded that love is real.
Aww.
And I just put my hands on it, and that's all I sent. And that's all I do send. Whenever it comes over, every time I come over, it comes and sits by me. But, you know, even the animal kingdom has a memory, an innate memory, you know, of how things should be. And certainly, just briefly, we're seeing that in animals all over the planet. You know, animals that are natural enemies to each other are now nursing each other's babies, and
I love that.
All sorts of things. So even the animals are changing, which I think is wonderful.
You also wrote something in this book which touched me deeply. But you know, many people will say, "Oh my goodness, the whales might all leave the planet," and so on. And you were saying, "Well, you can talk about this."
Well, you know. Again, this is the bigger picture view of things. Source was letting us know, and those species certainly were saying, well, you know, you're all evolving. You're all having an opportunity to change your biology and become a different species. And we would like that opportunity, too. And if we can't do it on Earth because of what you're doing to the oceans and things, then we'll go home. You know, we'll go home and we'll do it somewhere else. And the thing is, you know, it comes back around to respecting all creatures and what their decisions are, because there is consciousness there. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though you see animals beaching themselves and things like that, you know, we've even heard stories of mass beachings where they get the animals back in the water and then they beach themselves again, almost like a collective suicide. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to allow for other creatures to shift and change too.
Because so they're making
a choice.
I also
see a new earth. You know, mm-hmm. I also see a potential for where we're heading. And some of these species that may leave now may be back later. Okay, they may have a different form, but, you know, they want the same opportunity as we do. And basically they're saying, if you don't provide the environment for us to do it, we'll go home. We've been here millions of years, you know?
It's so interesting, isn't it?
Yes. But I had that happen with trees one time, if I can take just a second. You know how people feel so sad when trees are cut down, and especially, you know, Christmas trees, forestry and all that. And I used to go with my friends every year to cut a tree, and I went through a phase where I said, I can't cut a tree anymore. And then the trees came to me and said, well, you know, some of us want to go home. You know, we've been standing in this one spot for sometimes 100, 200 years.
Or longer, yeah.
It would be better if you were going to go cut a tree that you walked through the forest and said, does anybody want to go home? And I did that, and I was shocked at how many said, I do. Okay.
Oh, how fascinating.
Yeah, there were just as many who said they didn't want to, you know. But there were a lot that said they were ready, and I found that absolutely fascinating.
It is fascinating. It's also kind of heartening. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to end this because I just want to keep asking you questions.
Okay.
But just before we do, you mentioned the new Earth, and I think a lot of us really kind of hold to that at some level with probably varying descriptions. Can you say how you perceive it?
Well, I always get shown a picture of an Earth where there's a lot less people. I have to be honest, but it's more light based. It looks like it has its aura is beautifully a beautiful white golden aura, and it's very pristine. And I do keep seeing that over and over again.
Hmm. And that I do could be on the other side, couldn't it?
Excuse me.
Could that be on the other side?
Well, I actually think it's this Earth. I think it's what it's going to be like 20 years hence. You know?
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, but the population is greatly reduced, though, I do have to say. Yeah.
Well, that gives us food for thought. And once you cross over, it isn't all over anyway, right?
No. In fact, Source would always say, you know, it's the whole go look in the mirror and remind yourself you live forever.
Right. Well, you're just a very delightful and inspiring woman, and your presentation of Source is deeply touching. So would you like to give everybody your connection points here?
Sure, thank you. If they want to purchase the book, they can go to atimeofchange.info. That's atimeofchange.info. Or they can go to Amazon, and it is available on all the electronic formats through Smashwords. So there's that. If they need to contact me, they can go to AnnGailRose at AnnGailRose.com. And it's spelled AinnGailRose at AnnGailRose.com. And my website is AnnGailRose.com.
Wonderful. And you've got wonderful, a lot of different sections on your website. I haven't taken the time to go through it all, but do you even have a radio show?
We do. We do a Saturday radio show, my husband and I. It's on Blog Talk Radio / Art of Living Well. And we're under the Honest to God series. You'll see that on my book as well. You see on the bottom there, it says the first book in the Honest to God series.
Honest to God series, yes.
Yes. So every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we broadcast and have guests.
How wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And I hope that all of you listeners have enjoyed On Gail. As much as I have and learned more perspectives from Source through her book, Time of Change. And up and coming, we're expecting what?
Nature of Reality.
The Nature of Reality.
That'll be out in April next year.
Yes, that's
wonderful. I better get myself moving.
Get going. Get writing, girl. You're busy.
I know. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. And for any feedback on this show, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. And thank you and many, many blessings as we all go through such wonderful changes.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's a great pleasure. Thank you for coming.
All right.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.